Hi, ladies. I'm Dr. Brooke, and welcome to the Women Strong Podcast. Women Strong is an online women's wellness program that covers the foundations of health through lessons, exercises, daily challenges, and live interviews with female experts on a variety of health topics. Women Strong also provides a supportive community of like-minded ladies who encourage one another toward improved health and vitality. This podcast is a collection of excerpts from some of our Women Strong live interviews. We are so grateful to all of our experts for sharing their wisdom with our community. These strong women have taught us so much, and we're thrilled to share their expertise and wellness tips through this podcast. If you'd like to hear the complete interviews, or if you'd like to be present on these live Zoom calls with our experts, then sign up for the Women Strong membership at womenstrongtogether.com. We can't wait to meet you and begin supporting you on your wellness journey. Hi, everyone. In this episode, Dr. Nicole interviews Doreen Horan on grief and loss in the time of COVID. Doreen is a grief specialist, and we brought her in specifically toward the beginning of the pandemic to give our community some tools to help cope with all of the changes we were experiencing. The video of this interview was posted on our Facebook page back in May, so if you'd rather watch Nicole and Doreen talk versus just listening, check us out on Facebook at Women Strong Together. We wanted to share this complete interview with our entire community through social media versus just our exclusive members because we felt that the information was so important at that time when we were all beginning to feel the impact of grief and loss. You will find the entire interview in this podcast episode. There are no edits or cuts, so you also get an idea of what interviews are like in the Women Strong program. I love this interview. Doreen gives so many good tips and action steps to take when going through grief and transitions. I also really appreciate that Doreen and Nicole both shared vulnerably from their personal lives and experiences, which I think is so important for everyone, especially right now when we've all been forced to be more socially isolated. It's so good to hear from other people what they are going through currently, or maybe what they've gone through in the past and how they've built resilience. Toward the end of this interview, Doreen mentions that we're all going through a traumatic experience together. And I just want to acknowledge that this interview took place on May 22nd, very much at the beginning of the pandemic, right? We can say right now. But just a few days later, the world would witness the murder of George Floyd, and we would all move into another deeper layer of pain and trauma. So this interview is very much through the lens of COVID and the virus at that time, and so much more trauma and pain and grief and loss has taken place since then. Thank you, Doreen, for sharing your wisdom and so many useful tips with all of us during this painful and challenging time.
Hi, ladies. Welcome back to Women Strong. We are so excited to have Doreen with us here today. She is one of our experts, and we have previously talked to her about the importance of silence and solitude. So if you haven't already checked out that interview, make sure that you go back and do that one as well. Hi, Doreen. Thank you so much for sharing your valuable time with us today.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah. Can you just reintroduce yourself for us for those people that haven't watched the other interview yet?
Absolutely. Hi there, everyone. I am Doreen Horan. I am a licensed professional therapist, and I've been specializing in grief and loss for about 20 years. I also happen to direct the Three Hopeful Hearts here in Fort Collins, Colorado, and we specialize in child loss for families.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like such challenging work. Do you find it to be challenging?
Challenging? I'd rather say it's life-giving when you can sit with someone in the depths of their pain, or if you can sit with someone during a loss or a tragic event, such as now that we're all going through with COVID-19, and you can help them widen their lens, see what's happening from a wider perspective, and bring them out of what seems hopeless and help them be able to move forward, or just to breathe in the beginning and to get through that shock and that numbness. So it's actually life-giving.
I love that. Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you on today, because of the virus and how it's affecting everybody. So we know that you are so good in helping people to deal with their grief, and this is such a time of grief and loss for people. So we just wanted to see if you could speak to that for us.
Yeah, absolutely, Nicole. You know, as you said, this pandemic is creating grief and loss in all of our lives. And so first, what I do with every person I meet, we have to realize that there are many forms of loss. It's not just the loss of a person or a pet. It can be the loss of our ability to see or hear or walk. It can be the loss of a best friend who moved away. It can be the loss of a job, you know, and an identity. When we go from career to retirement, there's so many forms of loss. And then we have, you know, disenfranchised losses that people don't even know or recognize. In someone's world, when they have a tragic personal event, something becomes very personal and people don't realize the layers. When it comes to this pandemic, everyone we talk to is going through this loss. Everyone is identifying with people they know who are sick, people who are in fear, people who are losing jobs, the financial effects, and even not able to connect with those in your own family system who are healthy and alive, but you can't see them, touch them, hug them for that emotional boost and that life-giving energy that we share back and forth with each other. So we're all in this together. And we as therapists have talked together and we've consulted and we do what we call peer supervision. And we're saying how compounded this is because everyone's in it. It's not like I'm working with five people this week for grief and loss and five people with traumatic events or abuse and five people with anxiety or depression. Everyone we talk to, clients, friends, families, colleagues, we're all experiencing this pandemic.
Yeah. So how do you help people? How can we help each other? What do we do?
Yeah. So when I work with children, I talk about the four T's, and it's true for everyone. I remember when there was the great big shooting at a college back east, and we shared with everyone on television and through newspaper, tears, talk, touch, and time. And the first thing is we have to have the feelings. We have to tap into our feelings and release the emotions, the tears, the anger, the frustration, the unknown, and embrace those feelings. Don't deny them. Don't repress them into your body, because then you have a physical symptoms and it becomes, you know, illness, other forms of illness. And then it's the talk. Talk about it. Share it. In the beginning, everyone was saying, so what are you doing? How are you doing? You know, what's your office doing? We need to keep talking and telling our stories about how this is personally affecting us and those around us. And then the word touch, which can be sensitive if it's taken wrong, but it's the idea that we need human interaction, human, and the thing with the physical distancing, we're not getting to hug our own sisters and brothers and coworkers and children or grandchildren. So it's hard in this virtual world to receive the physical embracings that we need. We coach people who lose a spouse or a child to hug a pillow. and just have the emotional connection of your loved one in your mind. So right now, when you can't see your parents who are in retirement communities, or you can't see your best friend who's across the country and was going to fly in to visit you for a week, it's time to talk with them and hold something, or just think of people you love and embrace and receive that. It's like a self-care. It's a real self-care. And then some people like the word time and some people hate that word time. But the point is that we need time within our own time frame and our own mind to process minute by minute, hour by hour. In this case, it's week by week, month by month with the pandemic, to process what has happened, to cognitively make sense of it, come out of our shock state, come out of our numb state, come out of the hopes of a high school senior that I'm going to get back the last week of school and we're going to have a prom in the summer and we're going to get to graduate one way or another. Come out of all of that hoping to the point of acceptance, like, wow, this is a new reality. So there's a turning point in our brain when we go from the shock and the numbness to the feelings of anger, resentment, you know, resistance, fear, denial, and all these feelings too. We have to get to that point of, wow, this is real. Yeah. And I have to accept this. And it gets to the, instead of the why, it's the now what. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? Now how do I move forward? Now how do I attend school? Now how do I work from home with three kids around me with one computer in the house or two computers? And how do we do this? And that's where, personally, what I'm hearing from clients and friends and family and coworkers, we have, many of us have been able to go from the shock and to the feelings and the confusion and being overwhelmed. We're now into, okay, now what? We're doing, some people are doing it. Some have resumed. However, those who are not connected to a role, maybe they were a caregiver and they were going over to take care of someone or a loved one, and they're not doing that role because they can't be there, or someone with a job is not, they lost their job or they're still laid off. So they're still in that turmoil. And this is where you and I have talked about the mental health risk.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those people, I think, that are maybe struggling with that transition, do you have any tips on processing and how to process or how to shift from that state into the now what?
Yes. For example, if we look at someone in elementary school or middle school or high school or college, someone that has that school routine, but then has that summer break, they have to learn how to shift in their brain, how to go from a full day of activities and music lessons or sports into a summer, a relaxed summer agenda. But they need an agenda to be productive in the summer. And parents and guardians and grandparents that guide and coach children how to have their own independent routines, it's great. And the same for us adults. We don't have to go in, but some people might feel like they're in early retirement in their 40s because they've been laid off, or we might have to work from home. We need to create and redesign our routine. We've been hearing this, but we need it from, if you wake up at 6 a.m. or 8 a.m., what is my day going to look like? Am I going to spend time outside taking a walk and taking in nature or reading morning reflections? And then am I going to shift into an exercise routine and then a healthy meal and then into my work hours and into a break from work? Not a coffee break with colleagues, but a personal break. You know, we're on our own at home. We don't want to work 8 or 10 hours solid without our breaks. So we need to schedule that. We also need the post typical day activities to transition. Typically, we drive home from what we're doing, and we have that transition time in our brain to shift from what was to what we're entering into. We need to keep building in the transitions and say, okay, now it's late afternoon or early evening. Am I going to walk the dog, or am I going to turn to the news for only 30 minutes before I have my dinner? Am I going to call family or friends? We need to transition. And then we need to surrender to the evening and say, what I've done for the day is good enough. I've gotten plenty done, or I've gotten enough done with what I can with my skills. And I do want to quickly jump into this. I've heard people saying it takes me 4 times as long as a teacher to get my lesson plans together and to teach today what it would typically take me. So I can only expect 25% of myself. And I loved hearing that ratio. I've heard it from a few teachers. Give yourself a break. Don't expect 110% if that's who you typically are, type A. You have to allow yourself to adjust to and adapt to what it is right now. And if it takes 200% of you, give 50%, knowing you're really giving 100%. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think that that is so great because I've been hearing the same thing that you have. Well, not necessarily that 25%, but I love that percentage. And I'm going to start sharing that because I think that that's awesome and wonderful and something that people can wrap their brains around a little bit more. But so many people are just saying how I feel like I have so many things to do, but I'm not getting anything done. Like I'm home all day long and yet I'm not productive in the way that I would expect myself to be. Yeah. So I think that that's great. And I definitely will start using that too. Do you have any advice on, it feels like we just kind of need to like let go a little bit, like let go of these expectations. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, there's many things we can do to practice letting go. And I do want to, you just said something about people who aren't getting things done at home. Let's realize that a grieving brain goes into a shock and numb state, and we're not able to do what we typically could do. So all of us have some numbness. If we thought we'd clean out our garage or clean out a closet or clean out a kitchen cabinet drawer and we haven't, it's okay. You're grieving. Unconsciously or consciously, everyone in the world is grieving. Nothing is going back to how it was. But how do we, what are some ways of letting go? It can be as simple as writing down what your routine was, writing down what your routine is, and picking up that paper. And if you have a safe way of lighting a match and burning it and letting it dissolve, that is a visual reminder that I had to burn and let go of how I had my routine. If matches aren't safe in your environment, then you tear up the paper and you can even put it in the trash can or in a stream or a fire pit or something. But we have to do symbolisms all the time of letting go and moving forward, letting go of being in elementary and transitioning and graduating to middle school and transition to high school. We need to allow ourselves to really graduate into the new now, the new normal. I heard one of the graduation speakers say that our high school seniors and our college graduates have had the most unexpected, unchosen course of a lifetime. They took Pandemic 101, and everyone is learning that there are no guarantees, and it's the best course they'll ever have for life to realize how few guarantees there are. But we as adults also have to say, how can I let go and move forward? What can I let go of? What am I being forced to let go of? That's where trauma comes in, when we don't want to let go and we have to. So how do we deal with trauma? We have to process and take what was and look at what is and come to an acceptance. Sometimes we try to have a magical thinking and go in between. I think letting go rituals can be, like I said, writing down what was and writing what is, or doing some kind of ritual, a dance, play a song, even a graduation song, taking a bath or a shower with the intention that I'm washing off what was, and then stepping into something that is new. You can even go with the idea of, some people associate blacks and grays with mourning and white with new life or babies or new beginnings. And you could symbolically choose colors and wear things that speak to when you're ready to step into the new and you're wearing the white and the new beginning. What works for you? What works for you?
Thank you so much for sharing that. I hope that that will be helpful for anyone who watches this video. Those are really, really good tips. Going back to what you had said before about coming into the now and doing that transition, I also have been hearing from people that it's almost kind of anxiety provoking to be like, okay, well, now what? You know, and so then trying to problem solve can almost like bring up anxiety for people. Do you have any advice for that?
You know, one thing that I ask every person when I'm working with them through grief and loss, think back to a time when you had to go through an unwanted loss or an unwanted change. And how were you resilient? Because how we did it in the past is how we can do it now. So for each person, that would be uniquely different. If I thought about how, when I was living on the East Coast and 9/11 happened, and what went on in my mind and my heart and the phone conversations and the emails and how I had to readapt and how I became resilient during that tragic event, it helps me to realize what I need to do now. When I went through a tragic event as a teenager, and I think of how I became resilient and how long I was numb until I was able to transition and step back into life, and how it can take months or years until you feel like the new you has really arrived. So resilience and looking back helps us decide what's best for us uniquely to move forward.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I think that that's really helpful. I do wonder about for people who's, like you were talking about before, like these high school graduates or these college graduates, and maybe they haven't had that experience yet.
Right.
So maybe this is their first time having to go through something that's a huge life change and potentially traumatic. And how do we, and I know that there probably are moms who are witnessing this in their children. Do you have any advice for those moms and how to help their kids?
Yes. And specifically speaking, like you asked about anxiety or depression, if we have children who have more anxiety about changing like teachers each year from second grade to third or from ninth to 10th, or even children who have anxiety around moving from one bedroom in the house to another bedroom when the new baby comes and your four-year-old can't fall asleep in the new room because they were used to the old room. There are little ways early on in life that anxiety starts to build and produce. So we have to look at our child with the age that they were when they went through something that we know was hard for them. And how did they react? And how can we soothe and comfort them so they won't react possibly in the same way? Or how can we nurture them more? Kids who are more likely to be predisposed to depression because of family genetics or just how they are designed and wired, how can we make them feel connected and less isolated, less alone? Or how do we give that child who needs space more space when everyone's home? We have to look at each child uniquely. We have to be aware of the anxiety and the symptoms that are natural and normal versus those that are more of a medical mode where they need to be assessed. And I like to think of, sometimes people say, oh, is this creating a mental challenge for my child? Let's not name and label things. Let's talk and process. When we have kids grieve just like we adults do. They go through all the stages of grief that you and I do. They just can't hold that stage as long. For example, a five-year-old might grieve the loss of their dad for 1 or 2 minutes or maybe up to 5 minutes, and then they're ready to play with their friends. And it's confusing to the mother who's grieving for weeks and months and years on end. How come my kids aren't missing their dad? No, they're missing dad. Or they're missing the routine that they had. However, they can't hold on to it. It's too intense. So let your kids talk about what's going on. The most important thing is really we as parents, adults, teachers, mentors, we have to set the platform up and make the space and talk about it first. We need to educate and inform them according to their age level. Don't hide them from the tragedies in the world, but explain. I mean, little kids need to know why we're wearing masks. I have a beautiful little granddaughter and she doesn't want to see that on me. It's like, take that off, Mimi. But I need to say, well, some people have a cold. And so I'm covering my mouth so I don't give them my germs or get theirs. And so if we don't explain, it leaves their mind and their imagination to make up the story. That's just not healthy for a young child, let alone a teen or an adult who doesn't know what's going on with this pandemic. But we don't give them all the details that will create a traumatic mark inside of them with no understanding. That's how they will move through life feeling like there's no one they can trust. No one's going to tell them the truth and life isn't safe.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I personally find that to be very helpful. So hopefully I can implement that with my kiddos. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about just kind of how our environment and our daily lives have changed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that is something that we talk about everyone who has lost a loved one because their household has changed. But right now, each and every one of us, our environment has changed. The way we go to the grocery store, the way we, you know, walk in the neighborhood with or without masks, and how close can I walk with a friend and stay 6 feet apart, to how we do or don't get to work. We have to accept that the environment was different. And now it's changed. We have to accept the routines. And this is that I want everyone to think about the turning point. When you chose in your life to go from singlehood to marriage, or when you chose to live at home and then live on your own, or you chose to go from one career to another, we must accept what was, face the turning point, no matter how hard, and choose to move forward. We have to say yes, even if we don't want to. And I think about how hard it was, for example, when my parents lost a child. Who would ever want to say yes to that? Who would ever want to accept the loss of a child? And they had no choice to eventually say, David is gone. We are still here. We have a family, a career, a life, a neighborhood, community, etc. We must eventually step back into our bodies. Step back into routine, feed ourselves with nutrition, self-care, intellectual stimulation, social stimulation, community stimulation, and move forward. And so we're all being asked of that right now. Everything we knew has shifted, and we have to step back into our bodies. Here we are in 2020. A pandemic is around us. It has not taken us. We're all here. Those of us who have survived it, we're all here. And even those who have had to die to the pandemic and those that will continue to, we all have to keep living on and keeping their love and their desire for our lives alive and well. Remember them with a smile. Remember their laughter. Remember their purpose and meaning in life, and let that live on through us in honor of them.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, for many of us, this is not going to be the last time that we experience grief or loss in our lives. Do you have any advice that we can take forward with us into the future? You know, maybe, I don't even know if I should go there, but I'll speak for myself. So I know that initially in the beginning of all of this, it was so sudden and so different. Everything changed so quickly that I certainly wasn't my best self at the beginning of this. And I would love to maybe just have something in my mind that I can think about the next time that I feel myself going into a situation where it's a sudden change or a sudden loss. Like, do you have any advice for me of how can I maybe continue to try to be the best version of myself? Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a great question. And it makes me think of all the people who struggle, who have struggled, who are struggling, and the family environments that weren't at their best self when this first started. And how do we handle a tragic event? The first and most important thing to do is to take a big deep breath, many breaths. We all call it diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing. We need to breathe. And it's like to get oxygen into every organ of our body so we can stay grounded and in our body instead of dissociating in the moment of the panic and the fear and the unknown. And then we need to just put our brakes on and not make any decision. We need to really pull back and be wise. It's called discernment. And when we wake up in life, we learn you don't decide anything quickly. Wise discernment, whether it's how I'm going to discipline a child, whether it's how I'm going to react with anger or joy or quietness, whether it's, you know, how I'm going to scream or run away or threaten something. No, we have to be wise, breathe deeply, walk away if we need to, discern, and then decide. So that's very important. It's so easy to get into anger and rage or confusion and blurt it out. And that's how we're training and triggering our children with the not so good habits that we learned from our parents or grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really good advice. I think for some people, and maybe myself included, that might be hard and it sounds like it's something that you have to continue to practice in order to get better at it. Because I can just imagine, the next time that something comes up and then you react, right? But if we maybe have that idea planted in our minds of, oh, maybe I can take a deep breath, maybe I can take a step back and then just remember that word discernment, then maybe over time we can start to change those types of reactions and behaviors. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Correct. And let's speak to those people who have been raised with quick reacting parents and grandparents that immediately got set, it's like rage, just instant rage. And some of us all have instant anger. So to breathe, remove yourself from the environment and scream in a closet or stomp your feet or throw punches to a pillow, but not in front of everyone teaching a hot reacting reaction. And I'm not judging people. We all have relatives and parents and friends that do that. Also, we have people who immediately are negative and like the sky is falling and we don't want to speak those words like, oh no, what are we going to do now? We create fear in the complete environment around us. It oozes out of us if we're thinking it, if we're saying it. It's horrible to always say, oh, I'm sorry, or oh, that's terrible, or those negative words just get passed down and that reaction gets passed down. So pull back on your anxiety, pull back on your negative thinking, pull back on your anger reactions. Breathe, become self-aware in your body, feel what you're feeling, where are you feeling the anger or the negativity, and remove yourself just to another room. And, how do I want to show up here? I remember going through a time when my kids were teenagers and I kept telling myself, what do I want to train them? How do I want them to move forward with this? So I actually chose to be my best self and chose to not say what I wanted to say, but think, what do I want to teach them? And so it is a lot of practicing. And whenever I failed, I just apologized. I'm so sorry I screamed. Mommy got upset, but not at you. I got upset at everything I'm dealing with. And so we just have to own our weaknesses, own our mistakes. We all have them. And then move forward. Explain how you wish you would have reacted. This teaches them critical thinking skills too.
That's such a good point. And I think it's so important for us to teach them that nobody is perfect. You're never going to make the right choice and the right decision every single time. And I love what you said about apologizing and then telling them how you would have liked to have been. I think that's so great and such helpful information. Is there anything, this has been, I think, so informative. Thank you so much for everything that
you're welcome.
Is there anything else that any other wisdom you want to impart with us before we wrap things up for today?
Honestly, yes. My last words would be self-care. Take care of you. Each and every one of you have been going through the pandemic and reacting and having traumatic feelings. And we've all been faced with trauma now. Many of us are going to be walking around with PTSD, and it's not going to be diagnosed because we don't need it to be diagnosed, but we're all going to have panic reactions inside of us if we have not gone through trauma before. Be kind to yourself. I think it's great to have a self-care kit. And this is another tool that you can share with your kids. Self-care kits. I like to find a fun little pouch or a piece of fabric and put a few things in there that soothe my senses. Like maybe since I love mint, I'd have a mint lifesaver in there. I also love the smell of lavender, so I could have a little lavender pack or a vanilla tea bag, a stone that is smooth, or some people have like worry beads or something that you can just touch and comfort yourself. Some little kids like blankies and, you know, soft little. So have something you can touch, something you can smell, something you can taste. And I would have my children create these as well, so they could have it in their purse or, you know, in their backpack or whatever, something to give them comfort. Sometimes it's a picture of a grandparent or someone, you know, or maybe it's the ocean or the mountains. But we need to self-care for ourselves. If we relax and take a bubble bath or take a walk in nature and we're calm, we're going to give that to everyone around us. Remember, if you're feeling toxic, you're spreading toxicity. If you're feeling peace, you're spreading peace. So be peace and be light within yourself and for yourself, and then pass it on.
Thank you so much. That is such a great idea and totally useful. And we're going to go make our self-care kits today. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
And thank you so much for your valuable time. I hope everybody got something out of this conversation that we had today. And we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Nicole. What you do is terrific. Thank you for being a great platform for everyone to grow.
Thank you so much. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
If you liked this episode, please share it with others. And if you have time, please rate us or leave a comment. If you'd like to give us feedback or request any topics to be covered in future podcasts, we'd love to hear from you at support@womenstrongtogether.com. Big thanks to Jordan Frankly Speaking Schneider for doing our music. Another big thanks to our Women Strong experts for taking the time to share their wisdom with our ladies. If you want to join our supportive community and participate in live interviews like this one in the future, sign up for the Women Strong membership at womenstrongtogether.com. Until next time, this is Dr. Brooke from Women Strong, wishing you health, vitality, and the strength to continue evolving into your best self.